This is Victory House.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you. We thank you because this is the day that you have made, and we, your children, shall rejoice and be glad in it. Whether the devil likes it or not, whether Boko Haram likes it or not, whether witches and wizards like it or not, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Because we know today we will receive help from you. So we give you all the glory. Please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. As we go into your word, Father, let the entrance of your word shed light. Every dark corner, every dark crevice, Father, speak your word over it. Every dark situation, speak light into it. Every storm, speak peace into it. We ask, O Lord, that by the end of this service, even before this service is over, in the lives of we, your children, Father, let your name be glorified. After this service is over, when all our enemies see us from now on, let them be horrified. And by virtue of the help that you are rendering to us this morning, Father, Lord, let we, your children, be edified. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Why don't you go ahead and give the Lord a round of applause? I appreciate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Please take your seats majestically in the presence of the Most High God. I want to take this opportunity to appreciate Pastor E. Despite the big introduction he gave to a small village boy like myself, the reverse is the case. I happen to be his John the Baptist. I came just a few months ahead of him so that I can come and prepare the way. Hallelujah. And from the womb, our relationship started from the womb. And he sent me to go and do one or two things so that when he comes, he can come and take his rightful place. Please help me appreciate the grace of God upon his life. And our mama in the house as well. I don't know. I think she's with the children. Please appreciate the grace of God upon her life. All the ministers of God, the men of God, the women of God, I celebrate you, I appreciate you. And it is my prayer that God's anointing over your lives will never run dry. And then in the same vein, please appreciate the best choir in town. That was wonderful. God bless the choir, the instrumentalist. God bless the choir. Hallelujah. Not only do they look good, they sound good. And not only do they sound good, they led us into the presence of the Most High God. So, choir, please permit me to pray for you. That anytime you minister from now on, the deaf will begin to hear. The blind will begin to see. The lame will begin to walk. And the dead in Christ will begin to rise. And if your faith is big enough to receive it in heaven as the saints of God are worshiping him, none of you will be missing. Please, once again, I appreciate this choir. Wonderful, wonderful. And then, congregation, I'm not leaving you out. I don't want you to think I'm being partial to the ministers and the choir alone. I see you all looking quite beautiful, quite handsome this morning. And in my own language, I'd like to say you're looking swagalicious. So, appreciate the swag of God upon your lives. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. With the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, I shall be doing a little bit of teaching, a little bit of preaching, and some prophesying over our lives. Now, I do not claim to be a prophet. However, I have an assurance from God that the words of my mouth will not drop to the ground. Neither will they return to God void until it has accomplished that which it was sent to do. So therefore, I speak the word of life over you this morning. Everywhere your help is hanging, before the sun sets today, it shall begin to come your way. Amen. I thought your amen can be louder than that. Amen. Let God hear your amen loud and clear. Amen. Please be seated. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. I read from the New King James Version. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. I don't know who God is speaking to this morning, but wherever you need help in life, this very day, God will send help. Amen. See, man had always needed help. Why? Because God knew that man needed help. But it is either that man didn't know he needed help, or he knew he needed help, but he was too adamant to admit it. Or he admitted to needing help, but he did not know how to ask for it. There's always been an inbuilt ego that God built into man that has made man to become quite stubborn and quite adamant to sometimes admit that they need help. Or once we admit we need help, we find it difficult to ask for that help. But when God looked at man struggling in the Garden of Eden, where everything else seemed seemingly perfect, he realized that this young man needs help. He's running helter-skelter, morning till afternoon, morning till evening, trying to make ends meet. If only he had a little help, things would be better. Can I pray for somebody here once again? I hereby decree every area of your life that you need help, God will send help your way today. Financially, he will send help. Spiritually, he will send help. Maritally, he will send help. Academically, he will send help. If you don't need help, you don't need to say amen. But if you know you need help, let your amen swallow that of your neighbor. After God created everything, Bible tells us that he observed and he saw that it was good. In Genesis 1 verses 3, Genesis 1 verse 10, Genesis 1 verse 12, Genesis 1 verse 18, Genesis 1 verse 21, Genesis 1 verse 25, God saw that what he had created was good. And he left it as though because it was excellent in his eyes. But after God created man, he observed. And he said, oh, it has moved from good. And he saw that everything was very good. This is Genesis chapter 1 verse 31. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31. However, you will notice that God was playing a little game. He observed that everything he did was good and very good, but he did not make it excellent. He knew that if he had made man excellent, man would not need him. So he left a little room there for dependence upon him. Because the purpose for which he created man was so that man and himself can have a fellowship. But the moment he knew that he was going to create man, he knew that he was going to leave something out on purpose. I don't know who God is speaking to this morning, but I speak the word of life over you. Every area of your life, something is missing. Today, God will meet with you at that point of need. So why did God not create man in an excellent way? Question number one. So that man would never become independent of God. And this move was made by God on purpose. How do we know this? Psalm 121. Psalm 121 verses 1 to 8. Psalm 121. Psalm 121 verses 1 to 8. And this is David speaking. It says, I look up to the hills. Psalm 121 verses 1 to 8. I look up to the hills. From whence comest my help? It's a question. Many people think he's talking about your help is coming from the hills. No, it's not coming from the hills. It's a question mark. From whence comes my help? And then the next verse says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And then verse 3, he says, he will not suffer my foot to be moved. I say amen to that. Amen. And he that keepeth me will not slumber. I say amen to that. Do you know it's not your security cameras that keep you? It's not the policemen that keep you. It's not even your parents that keep you. It is the Lord God who keeps you. Many people in their house doing nothing wrong, in bed, a stray bullet comes to find them inside the house. Can I pray for 5 people here this morning? In the name of the Lord of hosts, every day evil is traveling, it will not locate you. I thought your amen would be louder than that. And then verse 4 says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, for the Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Verse 6, and the sun shall not smite thee by day. I say amen to that. Amen. Nor the moon by night. Amen. Verse 7, for the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And he shall preserve thy soul. Amen. And then verse 8 says, for the Lord shall preserve thy going out. And thy coming in. Amen. From this time forth. Amen. And even forevermore. Amen. God created that space there so that he remains relevant in man's life. That's why it is often a shame when you see people who have some little change in their hands. And they say, oh, I worked for my money. I struggled for my money. I hustled for my money. They are leaving God out of the equation. Why? Because it is God that giveth power to make wealth. Can I pray for somebody here who knows they need financial help? In the name of the Lord of hosts, before this year is over, you shall begin to operate in the realm of more than enough. Let God hear your amen loud and clear. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. It says, and Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. Oh Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And verse 12 says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. I don't know who God is speaking to this morning. All those who have raised a standard against you, raised their voice against you, raised their hands against you, because the Lord will begin to help you, they will flee before you. Some of you are wondering, why is it that I'm not making progress? Why is it that my neighbor, my brother, my younger ones, they are making progress? It is because some people have decided that we can see how far you are going to go in life and we are going to stop you from getting there. And they have gathered against you. But the word of God says, for surely they shall gather, but not in my name, and they will not be able to perform their enterprises. Can I pray for 15 people here this morning? Everywhere they are gathering against your destiny, because God will be your help, they shall gather in vain. Please be seated. So when God did not make man excellent, even though our God is excellent, and he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, he didn't say, let us make man exactly like us. Oftentimes, when we read that scriptures, we think we are exactly like God. We are not. We are made in his image and likeness. We are not excellent. But God is excellent. He left a little something out. Why? He wanted to give man an option, so that man can decide whether he needs God or not. That's why salvation is not by force. Salvation is optional. If you want to go to hell, it is your own option. It is your choice. You want to come to heaven? It is your choice. Why did God do so? Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And that same God now spoke to man in verse 16 to 17. 16 and 17 of that same Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. That same God now said, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. See God playing a game with man. If you partake of this tree, you will become like me. But I'm telling you, don't touch it, because it is for your own good. So why is God playing that role? He's looking for somebody who truly wants to be like him. If you are in love with somebody and they don't love you back, it is quite painful. And if you force that person to be with you, you are just putting yourself in a lifetime of misery. But if you love someone, they don't love you back, leave them, let them go. But if the person truly wants to be with you, what will they do? They will seek you out. That is when you know you have true love. So when God made this situation, it was to test man so that he will be able to decide how he will help you. I don't know who God is speaking to this morning, but I speak the word of life over you. As you have decided to follow God all the days of your life, he will send true help to you in the name of Jesus. So when man now decided that he was not going to choose God, he was going to choose the tree, what did God do? In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, man ate of the fruit. And when God came to visit, the first thing that man did was that he blamed God. He said, it was a helper that you made for me. Oh, did you see that? The help that you brought for me cost me this wahala. Even though God made a comparable help for him, man used that help to blame God. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. So after that, what did God do? God stepped back and said, okay, I wanted to help. But if you don't need my help, you don't want my help, I leave you on your own. Go in this your might. Do it in all your wisdom. Do it in all your strength. Even though for by strength shall no man prevail. Let me see you and see how far you go. So God stepped back. And how do we know God stepped back? Because by the time we get to Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, you will see that when Cain and Abel were in the garden and Cain was about to kill Abel, God could have stopped it. He knew what Cain was about to do, but he just observed and let it happen. But then the Bible now tells us in that same Genesis chapter 4 that the blood of Abel cried out from the ground. And as the blood of Abel cried out from the ground from help, God now intervened. Anybody who is crying out for help from God today, before the sun sets today, God will answer you by fire. Amen. I thought your amen would be louder than that. Amen. So, why am I sharing this with you, preparing the ground? Because we're going somewhere. How then can you attain help from God? Once you have come to the realization you cannot do it alone, you cannot do it by yourself, you need help from God. How do you obtain help from God? Number one, you can obtain help from God by divine favor. You can obtain help from God by divine favor. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. And God looked down on the entire mankind and singled out a young man named Noah. And by this young man that we're calling Noah, Noah was 600 years old. And God saw that Noah was perfect in his generation. That he walked before God. He chose God. He did not choose the lifestyle of others in his generation. And Noah found favor in the sight of God. Because God had decided that he was going to wipe out man from the face of the earth. But because Noah found favor in the sight of God, God sent help from him. Can I pray for one individual here? In your entire family, God will single you out for favor. I don't know if you know how important favor is. See, Pastor E and I, we went to the same school throughout our lives until we got to secondary school and there was a move made by our father. In primary four, in the same school, it was in a different class, I was in a different class. We had an exam. I was the class captain of my class. I had an assistant class captain called Bukola Esho. And in mathematics, because my father being a former mathematics professor, you dare not go home with nothing less than 100 out of 100. Otherwise, they will ask you what happened to the other points. How many of you have parents like that? You get 99 out of 100, they will still ask you, what happened to that remaining point? So the exam, we finished the exam, the results came out, I got 100 out of 100. But my assistant class captain, she got 101 out of 100. That was the same thing, that was my same reaction. How did she do it? We are still in primary four, she cannot be sleeping with the lecturer. So I went to Mr. Ojo and I went to ask him, sir, what did Bukola do that I did not do? What extra formula did she write that I did not write? What answer did she arrive at that I did not arrive at? And he looked at both our papers and said, what can I tell you? There's no difference between you. All I can tell you is that she's favored. And from that day henceforth, it stuck in my brain that brother and sister, in life, favor is better than labor. Can I pray for somebody here today? In the name of the Lord of hosts, in your generation, amongst your peers, the Lord will favor you for help. Please be seated. How can you obtain help from God? Number two, you can obtain help from God by living a life of righteousness. A life of righteousness. How do we know this? Genesis chapter 6 verses 9a. It says, after Noah found favor and found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that Noah was perfect in his generation. He walked with God. You want to obtain favor from God? Live a life of righteousness. Stop trying to cut corners. There is a generation that we have now that they want to hit overnight, bam. They want to blow overnight, bam. And so therefore, they are doing all manners of things to make ends meet. They want to get papers overnight, bam. So they are doing all manners of things to make ends meet. Stop doing that. When the time is right, God will show up. See, Noah was 600 years old before God showed up. You are not yet 600. You are not yet 100. You are not even 50 yet. So when the time is right, and God's time is always the best, it will send help that no man can take glory for. Have you ever had help from an uncle or an auntie or a family relative, and you have now become something in life today, and they will never help you, they will never let you forget it? I'm the one that paid the school fees, they paid one time. And the one that made him who he is today, oh, they only helped you once. Oh. And even with that help, there was condition. You were almost like a house boy or a house girl in the house for 5 years. Why? Because they ended that little help. But can I pray for somebody here today? The kind of help that no man can take glory for, God will render to you today in the name of Jesus. See, when God decides to help you, he not only helps you, he helps your entire household. When he looked down on Noah and singled Noah out in Genesis chapter 7 verses 1. Genesis chapter 7 verse 1 and 7. Genesis chapter 7 verse 1 and 7. After God sought Noah out, God said, I have seen you walking righteous before me in this generation. He says, now you and your entire household. Which means that any man in any family that sees help from God, that entire family gets help from God. Oh, only one person, God, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Our family history is not the way it used to be. It has changed over the years. But there was a time when anybody who heard the Adeboye name associated the name with failure and poverty. In fact, in our village, the poor used to call us poor. That's how poor we were. The day my grandfather bought a bicycle, not brand new, not second hand, not third hand, more like a fifth hand bicycle, we celebrated in our family. And every time he got on that bicycle that was rusted, as he's pressing on the pedal, you hear the pedal squeaking, announcing to the whole village that here comes the poorest man in the village. But God looked down upon just one man, one single man, and said, Enoch Adejare Adeboye, you will not end up like your forefathers. And the story of our entire family changed. Can I pray for one individual here this morning? Because you are in this service today, God will render help to your entire family through. If you believe it, let your amen be louder than that of your neighbor. And as a result of that, the entire family of Noah got help.
God could have wiped Noah out and created another man if he wanted. He created Adam, he created Eve, and when he saw that man had messed up and he decided to destroy them, he could have destroyed everybody and created another person. But God chose Noah to give him favor and to help him and to use his own family to start a new generation. Do you know what that means? It means that when you came into this world, there was a plan in mind for God for your life and your destiny. And your destiny is that you're supposed to bring out generations to come. There are some families that God has wiped out from the face of the earth. They used to be great, but they are no more. There is a name we used to hear in Nigeria very much in those days. The Abiola family, Abiola family. Apologies to anybody who is associated with them. They were so rich, they were so rich, so wealthy, so well known. But today you don't hear that name anymore. I remember the journalist interviewing him, and they said, tell us the source of your wealth. And he told them, let me tell you this, I'm not touching what's inside the barrel. I'm only touching what's flowing out of the barrel. Meaning that I am so wealthy that I'm not even touching my capital. I'm living off the interest. He was so well known all over the world, but today the family is in tatters. Can I pray for one family here today? Every family represented in the house, as you get help from the Most High God, for generations to come, you will become relevant. Why is that important? God said, I will make your name great. That's why when he chose David, who was a nobody, who was a non-entity, he said, I will establish you and your generations after you. If God did not help David would have died in Sambisa Forest. With all the talent he had, he would have died in Sambisa Forest. With all the gifts he had, he would have died in Sambisa Forest. Many of us are seated here. We are talented. We are gifted. We have ideas, but there's no help. You wish you had somebody who could just help you financially, who could just help you with a connection, who could just help you with a platform. But all that you carry is dying inside of you because you have no help. But I have come here this morning as a messenger of the Most High God, and I decree over your life that help you need, it will begin to come your way. If you believe it, let God hear your amen loud and clear. That's why when you read John chapter 5 from verses 5 to 9, John chapter 5 from verses 5 to 9, you will see a man who had been by the pool for 38 years. And when the day of his help came and Jesus showed up to him and Jesus said, would you want me to help you? His first thing, the statement he made was, oh, I have been here my whole life and I have never had somebody to help me. That was the first statement that came out of his mouth. Jesus said, I have not come here to ask you if you had help as a man. Do you need divine help? And he was still telling stories. Jesus said, okay, keep your mouth shut. I have made up my mind, whether you know it or not, that you need help, that today is your day of help. Some of us, we're still seated here. We're still saying, no, me, I can't shout. I'm in America. I'm no longer in Nigeria. You know, I'm touche, I'm posh, I'm cultured. No shaking. The help is not for you. But for those of us that know where the shoe is pinching us, for those of us who know that we really need help, because those back home are looking at us thinking we are picking dollars on the streets, but we know that's not the case. I hereby decree upon your life, in the name of the Lord of hosts, receive that help. For 38 years, stagnant. Other people had been getting help. Before he gets to the pool, others would have gotten there. That pool became something for him. That same pool, this same America that others are coming and they are making it, is a pool of Bethesda. It is that same place that others will arrive last week, and before you know it, they are in their own house. Before you know it, their business is flourishing. Before you know it, citizenship has come. And you that they met here for Odun Gbogboro, if your neighbor does not understand what Odun Gbogboro means, please explain to them, interpret for them. Odun Gbogboro means for the longest of time. They met you here, they overtook you, and they left you behind. That man had been there for 38 years. Others will come. God will send help to that pool, stir up the pool, and they will receive their healing, but they will never get there. Do you know that pool became a source of ridicule for him? It became a pool of shame, a pool of stagnancy. There were people who were there looking at him, making fun of him. Every time of the year, when God will send help to that pool, there are people who will come and camp, commentators. Oh, here goes Mr. A, here goes Mr. A. Will he make it this year? And I'm sure you know, with your commentators in this, your nation, watching basketball, even watching the news, the commentary will make you feel as if you are watching a show. The way they will comment and comment about one topic for 1 week. I'm wondering, where do they get things to say? It doesn't look like you'll be able to make it this year. You know, he used to have Obamacare, but now that Mr. President has canceled Obamacare, he doesn't have any help. So maybe, just maybe, somebody from somewhere will render him some help. No. He applied, but they turned him down. Oh, what a shame. Why did they turn him down? He doesn't have his papers. You know, he's an illegal immigrant. The commentary left, right, and center. For others, people there will come at that time of the year and they were profiting off his misery. Do you know this pool? If only you can get there. If you are wearing Speedo, you'll be able to get there faster. But you are not wearing Speedo. Come and buy Speedo. It is aerodynamic. It will make you move through. And for some people, it was something else. For him, it had become a source of entertainment for others. His misery was profiting others. Do you know there are some people who are enjoying because of your situation? Your sweat had become sweet to them. But can I pray for you this day? Because help is coming from above, your sweat will no longer become sweet to another. All those who have been profiting from your misery, in the name of the Lord of hosts, God will begin to disappoint them. But on a day like today, when his help came, even the pool could not stop him. You didn't get that. Which means that even though the help apportioned for that year had already come, God created a special time of help for him. Pastor E was saying that there is still something left in this month of July. And you know, when people look at a day and they say, oh, the month is already over, it's already gone, forget July, let's begin to focus on August. They are making a mistake. Because when everybody takes their eyes off the July month, it means that whatever is left for that month, you can grab it. Oh, only somebody was quick enough to receive it. It is yours in the name of Jesus. There is still something called a last minute miracle. And God usually reserves the best to last. Which means that all the best that was meant for this month of perfection, I hereby decree, in the name of the Lord of hosts, it will become your portion. Do you know God has already preserved an escape route of help for you and your family? How do we know this? Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 26 to 29. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 26 to 29. It says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, who rides the heavens to help you, and in his excellency on the clouds. So God is excellent. But he did not create man to be excellent so that he can continually come to your help. That's why he says he's a very present help in the time of what? Of need. He says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. Then Israel shall dwell in safety, and the fountain of Jacob alone, in a land of grain and new wine, and his heavens shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. Your enemies shall submit to you, and you shall tread down their high places. That's what God has prepared for you and I. If only you will admit you need his help. Because when it comes to praying, many of us don't open our mouths. Say, listen, I'm an American citizen. Anything I need, I just have to apply. I can get aid from the government, student loans, this and that. I don't need help from anybody. I've got my credit cards. I've got my condo. I've got my Nissan Altima, or is it your Camry, or whatever it is. I'm straight, man. I'm straight. I don't need God. The fool seeth in his heart. Every time you are relying on yourself, all of a sudden you will discover when God wants to show you that you have no strength. Have you ever woken up? It has happened to me. I don't know if you are going to admit it. You wake up, you were not sick, but all of a sudden you could not move your hands and your legs. You could not talk, you could not shout. It's as if you were trapped inside your body. How many of you have ever experienced that? And you are thinking to yourself, am I between life or death? You want to shout, but you can't open your mouth to shout. There are people around you playing, activity going on around you. They have no idea you are in that state. And you want to cry out, help, help, but you cannot do it until God gives you strength. When you lift your hands and your hands move, it is not your strength. When you move your legs, it is not by you, it is God. It is because God decided to help you. How many times have you taken a cup of water? Water you have drank 1,000,000,000 times, but one particular time, it entered into the wrong hole and you almost choked to death. It is not you, it is God. That's just to show you that, listen here, young man, you still need me. A problem with this society that is developed is that everything is so convenient, so comfortable, so around, that we feel we don't longer need God. We're not in Nigeria. We don't need to pray as if we're in Nigeria. There's light, there's water, there's gas, there's this, there's that. So we're comfortable. The reason why we're going to church and we're doing night vigil is because we know that there will be light in church so we can charge our phone. We need God, most especially in this society. Otherwise, your destiny will be bastardized. There is this nation that we are calling great today. It was built on God. They used to have it on their currency. I don't know if they still do. In God we trust. In school, in God we trust. At the airport, in God we trust. In the courthouses, in God we trust. But gradually, they began to remove God from the situation. That used to be the case of England. And England, a small island, controlled the entire world. But when they turned their back on God, see what they became. If you are not careful, my brothers and sisters, and you are relying on your own intelligence, your own strength, your own connections, and you leave God out of the equation, I feel sorry for you. This morning, as I was getting dressed, I didn't even realize that I needed help. But my girls saw me dressed, and they came and said, Daddy, let us help you. So they helped me to put on my right shoe. I said, thank you, Jesus, for help. They helped me put on my left shoe. They helped me put on my belt. They helped me to put on my buttons. And all of a sudden, God was speaking to me and said, oh, where you don't think you can get help from, I can send help from that angle. Can I pray for somebody here? In the name of the Lord of hosts, even when you don't think you need help, from unexpected quarters, God will send help your way. I was sharing with Pastor E yesterday and Pastor Toyosi that God sent somebody to us in Nigeria. I did not chase after him. He located us, came and he said, Pastor, I see the good work you are doing. I know it cannot be easy. How can I help? And we're talking about a big player. I don't need to mention his name or his details. But these are people that when they write checks, it is 7 zeros. You know what I'm talking about? Do the math. 7 zeros. Forget the figure in front. 7 zeros already puts you in a different stratosphere.
And some of us are saying, no, let me hustle, man. Let me hustle. Let me do it. I can do it by myself. Hey, my brother, life is easier when you get help. when you get help, all the white hair that you are getting in your 30s, it will not be there. It will not come until the 80s or 90s. The reason why we're getting white hair and it has become fashionable now is because nobody is getting help from God. When you get help, your life becomes flavored because you get favor instead of labor. Can I pray for somebody here today? In the name of the Lord of hosts, from unexpected quarters, God will send help your way.
Amen. I thought your amen would be louder than that.
I will share a testimony with you and we will close. There was a young man, very intelligent, sharp, smart, Efiko, brain on fire. You have to put ice block on the head just for the brain to calm down. His grandfather ended up a nobody. He saw that his father was ending up a nobody. And this young man made up his mind and said, I will not end up like my forefathers. So he struggled, left Nigeria, went to Europe, to the country of Ireland. He wanted to become a doctor. Everybody thought, oh, once he gets there, he's sorted. He will become a doctor in no time. He will become very successful. He sat his medical exam. First time, he failed it. Second time, failed. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, he failed. Even if you fail the first time, you take the past question paper of that last year, you will do something better this year. If you fail the second time, combine the two past papers, you will do something better the third year. Six times, he failed. Not that the brain was there, but he gets into the exam hall, everything he studied, everything he knows, it is gone. How many of you have ever experienced that? You sit in an exam hall and it seems as if you were born dumb. Everything just escapes. Even your name, you cannot spell your name right. It is because there are forces of evil at work. Can I pray for somebody here? Every force of evil fighting against your help, in the name of the Lord of hosts, God will destroy them today. This young man now heard that our Father the Lord was going to be in town in London. And he made up his mind that enough is enough. I need help. This one is past academical help. I need spiritual help. I need divine help. So he made his way to London for that program. And as our Father the Lord was ministering, this young man would jump up and say, I receive it. It is mine in the name of Jesus. All those who were sitting next to him, you know, were behaving touche touche, posh posh, making fun of him. What's wrong with him? Doesn't he know we don't jump like monkeys in London? But this young man did not care. He was jumping up, grabbing his miracle, grabbing their own miracle, and adding to his own miracle. So turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't know what's doing you, but if you are behaving too big for God, I can grab your miracle, grab your blessings, grab your breakthrough, and add it to my own. Don't worry, for some people did not open their mouths. It's not for them. They don't need the help. But for those of you that were not too big or too tosh, who were not feeling too cool for school, God will send you help today. After the program ended, this young man went home. And as he went home, he went to bed. This was on a Friday night. In the middle of the night, he had a dream. An angel of the Lord came and woke him up in the dream. The angel told him to sit down. He sat down. The angel put a table before him, put a paper on the left, put a paper on the right, gave him a pen. And the instruction came, copy everything on this paper into this paper. Now, see, young men who are intelligent, young women who are intelligent, oh, that's stupid. Why do I need to do that? You know, with the American accent. You know, why don't I just photocopy it? Why do I need to write it? You know, he was coming up with all manners of things. The angel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. He copied. As soon as he finished copying, putting the last stop on a paper, the angel disappeared. The papers, the pen, the table disappeared. And this young man woke up. What manner of dream is this? I don't understand it. But he knew that something was on the way.
So he knelt down, he gave thanks to God, and he went back to sleep. Monday morning, he was sitting his medical exam for the seventh and final time. He got into the examination hall. As soon as he sat down, the examiner said, "You may begin to write." As soon as he opened the papers, lo and behold, it was everything the angel showed him in the dream. In the history of that medical exam, nobody ever got 100% before him. Nobody got 100% after him. Today, he has medical practices all over Europe. Can I pray for one individual here? Just somebody who is not too big to open their mouth. In the name of the Lord of hosts, before tomorrow morning, you will receive divine help. Today, that young man has medical practices all over Europe. He has employees. He has mansions. He has cars. He has servants. He has more than everything. And do you know, he's not yet married. Why? Because he just turned 30. And I can hear some ladies saying, "Pastor, hook his sister up. Is he married? If he's not married, is he happily married? If he's happy, if he's married, is he happily married? If he's not happily married, does he have a brother?" You know, one way or the other, just connect us, hook us up. This young man is living a life that only people can dream about. Why? Because he got help. I don't know who God is speaking to. Before the sun sets today, help from above will be your portion. Please rise to your feet wherever you are. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet wherever you are. Rise to your feet wherever you are. If your legs are walking, rise to your feet. Lift up both hands to the Most High God. Cry to him from the bottom of your heart and say, "Father." Cry like you mean business. Say, "Father." In this congregation, in my generation, seek me out and render me help. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Seek me out, oh Lord. Render me help. Render me help. I am tired of going around in circles. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of stagnancy. I'm tired of failure. I'm tired of disappointments. I'm tired of laboring in vain. Single me out, oh Lord, in my family, in my generation, in this congregation. Single me out, oh Lord. Render help, 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 help from above. Help from the north. Help from the south. Help from the east. Help from the west. Even in my sleep, send help. In the village, send help. In the city, send help. In the morning, send help. In the afternoon, send help. In the evening, send help, send help, send help. My head will not reject help. My head will not reject help. My head will not reject help. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Let your amen be full of fire. Why was that young man and their family going through what they were going through? That for generations, failure, failure, failure. It is because the evil ones saw that God wants to do something great through this family. And they decided to form an evil cloud to cover their star from shining. lift up your hands to the Most High God and cry to him from the bottom of your heart and say, Father, every evil cloud covering my shining, let it dissolve today. Go ahead and talk to the Most High. Every evil cloud covering my star, stopping me from shining brightly today, oh Lord, dissolve it, dissolve it, dissolve it, dissolve it, remove it, remove it. Every embargo placed upon my progress, every embargo placed upon my success, every embargo placed upon my fruitfulness, every embargo placed upon my joy, every embargo placed upon my progress, shatter it today, shatter it today, shatter it today. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. One last prayer point, but it is by no means the least. After God decided that he was going to help Ephraim over Manasseh, Ephraim was the younger. Manasseh was the firstborn. And the firstborn, by all accounts, is supposed to get double the portion of inheritance. But when they came to their grandfather for blessing, the grandfather crossed his hand. It was not a mistake. It was intentional. It means that God can choose you above those who have gone ahead of you and make you greater than they. All those who have left you behind, all those who have left you far, 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 far behind, because you will receive help today, not only will you catch up with them, not only will you overtake them, you will leave them behind. With your hands lifted up to the heavens, cry to the Most High God and say, Father, all those who have left me behind, because of your hand coming upon me today, let me catch up with them. Let me overtake them. Let me leave them behind. Go ahead and talk to the Most High God. All those who have left me behind, maritally, academically, financially, economically, politically, ministerially, all those who have left me behind, because of your help coming my way today, let me catch up with them. Let me overtake them. Let me leave them behind, oh Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Father, we want to say thank you. We're looking up to you, not man, because we know our help is not coming from anywhere else but you. And because it is coming from you and the hearts of kings is in your hands, you can turn their hearts in our direction. So I pray for everybody gathered here under the sound of my voice. Every area they need help. Immigration-wise, financial-wise, academic-wise, marital-wise. In every area they need help. Father, send help today in the name of Jesus. Wherever you find a believing amen, let their own testimony as a result of the help overshadow all others. Let their breakthrough overshadow all others. Let their blessings overshadow all others. Anything we will do that will make you withdraw your help, anything we will say
that will make you withdraw your help. Anything we will think that will make you withdraw your help. Father, please don't let us do it in the name of Jesus. Everywhere we go from now, let us meet with favor. In front, favor. On the right, favor. On the left, favor. At the back, favor. Anywhere we step to, Father, let your grace announce us. From today, henceforth, my Father, my God, nobody here shall labor in vain. When others are finding themselves in the labor market, Father, let us find ourselves in the favor market. Before this year is over. Even that is too far, Lord. Before this month is over, let it be evident in the lives of these your children that you have begun to help them. And at the end of it, Lord, all the glory shall return to you. All the shame to the devil. And all the joy to we, your children. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.